Hello, I'm Michael Fisher, a.k.a. Mr. Mobile, and you're listening to Nokia Chronicles with Adrian and Justin. Delivered that like a robot, and I don't know why. Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming on, Michael. And that was probably our best intro yet, actually. It did sound like a half robot.
Well, he didn't sound like a robot to me. He sounded
I'm using Michael's words.
Informational. It's very professional.
See, it's customary to, as a guest, you know, just throw yourself under the bus immediately at the start of the show. So that way there's nowhere to go but up.
Exactly. That's how we see it as well. All right, we'll get stuck straight into the questions, Michael. Are you ready?
I'm so ready. Yeah, absolutely. It's Friday night. I haven't opened a single beer, and I don't know what I'm thinking. Yeah, let's do it.
Gee, you sound like you've actually opened up several beers, but okay. All right.
It's my default state.
All right. It must be the Virginian in you. All right.
Yeah.
In your Pocket Now days, you and the team reviewed multiple Lumias. Did you ever think they'd ever be successful?
Yeah. Oh, totally. I'm like a serial optimist when it comes to tech that I actually love and want to succeed. So yeah, I think the people I was worried about, the manufacturers I was worried about in the Windows Phone space were everyone but Nokia. You know, it seemed clear that Nokia was going to just dominate with the Lumia line. And I wondered what HTC and Huawei and, you know, LG and Samsung were going to do, because it just seemed like Nokia was going to run away with it.
Yeah. Yep, but it wasn't to be, but it doesn't matter. We're all here now. We're happy, so we're still happy.
We made it.
Yeah, we made it up to the other side, so yeah.
We are still brands that are alive.
Yes. All right, Adrian, over to you, mate. My good friend.
All right, Michael. So how soft are your hands when a phone can give you a blister? So this is going way back, if you can remember, to one of your Pocket Now videos.
Absolutely. Yeah, right. It was either the 900 or the 920 or maybe even the 1020. I don't know. Thank you for bringing that up. I remember putting that into the script and filming it and thinking, surely the internet will understand that while this is true, I think it really did give me a blister. I'm not leveraging a legitimate complaint against the device. I'm making a lighthearted observation about something that I wish they would change. And then, yeah, I think after the 87th comment or something making fun of my soft skin, I was like, oh, that's what kind of people watch these videos. I understand. Yeah, I'm going to spend 5 days hating them. And then I'm going to calm down and get on with my life. And I did, with the help of Jaime Rivera. He was always there in the inbox to help me out. He's like, dude, don't sweat it. Bigger fish to fry. Yeah, you're right.
does he have the best name in the internet?
He's the best name on the internet if he's pronouncing it. I don't even
exactly.
Try, you know,
exactly.
I was going to roll that R.
Yeah. Rivera.
Yeah. Wow. No, but thank you for bringing back that blister recollection. Boy, gosh, it's been so long since I just had a reflexive, go fuck yourself, that I wanted to drop into the microphone. And it really feels good to bring it back. Thank you.
Well,
thank
you. Are you sure it was the Lumia 900, or you just weren't watching a little bit too much porn or something, Michael?
Well, that Windows Phone browser was pretty good for anything you wanted to throw at it.
That private browser is fantastic. That's but right. Anyway, I
Saturday night, chicken time.
All right. Okay.
See where this is headed today, Justin.
What? Yeah. That's it.
11 minutes in. We've already got the porn drop. That's good.
Well, we have to. All right, Michael, if you had to pick only one, what would be your favorite feature of the Lumia devices?
Oh, man, that's broad. I mean, it was such a massive category. My jokey answer, but it is the first one that left mind, is the custom accent color. Remember, you can only get that deep blue on the Nokias?
Mm-hmm.
Like the whole rest of the Windows Phone platform had a palette that lacked this one deep blue, but I always loved that. What did I love? Here Maps, some of those custom things were great. Was Cinemagraph unique to Lumias? It was, wasn't it?
It was, yep.
Yeah, that's it. That Cinemagraph. I mean, that dropped on a holiday season. I went to a bunch of like Christmas parties and just shot a bunch of Cinemagraphs, and all my friends were so enamored, and so was I. And I was like, this is fantastic. Surely this will be the thing that drives it to success. Cinemagraph, that's my final answer.
Yeah, all right. That's a good answer, Michael. We like it. Thanks. We'll take it. All right. All right, Adrian, over to you, mate.
All right, this is a two-parter in one. Sorry, Michael. So, what has been your favorite tech event ever to cover? And if you haven't been to Australia before, what would it take to get you and David Cogan down under to sample some of Melbourne's finest world-famous coffee?
Oh, man.
We do make the best coffee, Michael.
Really? Now, we do. I did not know.
Yeah.
I always, you know, you picture Australian offerings in terms of cuisine. I think about like grilled meats, which I'm really into. Like I really could get down with some, I was about to say some cannibalism down there, but no, that's not right. I get down with some carnivore lifestyle down there. All right. Let me think about that. The answer to part B is nothing. Nothing would stop me. Anything could get me down there to do that. And I'm sure David would love to sample that coffee as well. So that would be a blast. I wish he was here. As far as my favorite event ever to cover, I should have this one. See, this is why I like pre-interview questions, gentlemen, because I could have a real great answer, but I don't know. Like I've been doing this for 10 years this week, by the way. I've been doing this for 10 years this week. I must have covered hundreds of events. And I can only tell you that the only one that keeps leaping to mind is a very recent one, and it was the trip to Laguna Beach for the MediaTek Summit. And you know, it's crazy to say that because normally I would say no. You know, some handset release was amazing, or the Note 2 launch where I got to play ping pong in slow motion with you know Marquez and Austin, and for the first time, and it was great. But like. Going this past November, going to Laguna Beach, California, after being essentially spending most of the past 2 years in my apartment or in the greater New York area, and seeing all my friends again, and seeing tech in person again, and the people who make that stuff in person again. And David Cogan put it very well. He said, we had golden retriever energy for the entire 4 days. We were just running around doing everything short of licking each other in the face, all 40 of us, because it just felt so good to see each other again. So that's without question. I didn't make a video of it, but it's that there's a ton of footage from it featured in my Pixel 6 Pro review, which is what I was shooting while I was there. So that's my answer. It's my honest answer. God, yeah,
that's awesome.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. I have to ask Michael. So how hard has, COVID had as an impact, on you guys?
I thank you for asking because, I'll give you a serious answer. You know, creatively, it was actually pretty good for a while. It made me organize the channel in a way that I hadn't before, that I hadn't had time to sit and think about before. It made me launch some series that are now my favorite things to make, like When Phones Were Fun and Into the Fold. But I'm personally, it's been crushing. We've had it easy, I live in a giant apartment because I share it with two other people and we split the cost. It's my income stream has never been jeopardized, and I haven't gotten sick yet. So look, it's like a best case scenario, and yet I feel like I've aged 8 years in the past two. I don't know what I'm doing from moment to moment. Every day, I careen wildly between giddily happy and insanely depressed in the space of like 5 minutes. I can't properly quantify how sick the personal cost has been of it. I'm alive and I'm healthy, so I can't complain but so much. What about you guys? I'm sure you've discussed this before, but how are you?
Well, thanks Justin for asking.
First, because radio voice.
Radio voice, yes. I've been lucky that in my job that I actually pick up clinical waste. So, that's my day-to-day job.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's actually been extremely, extremely busy, but I have seen some, and it has allowed me to have, like, we've been the most locked down city in the world, yet with my job, I'm able to go everywhere. So I'm unlimited. But I'm seeing the other side. So, you know, places closed down forever, aged care places that, you know, things I shouldn't see in there. But I'm okay. I have seen some rotten things, but I know I've been fortunate at the same time that I'm lucky with unfortunately, it's a ugly, crappy job, but it's a job that it's kept me busy throughout this terrible time, unfortunately.
Yeah. And it's helping, you know. So, I mean, so I appreciate that you're doing it.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. So, and Adrian, well, they're just opening up now. Well, they're going to open up in a couple of weeks. They've been closed off to the rest of the world, even to Australia.
Even to the rest of Australia. We've been pretty tight here in our state of Western Australia. Premier's pretty against opening up. So, and he's copying the ref from everywhere else in the country. But, you know, it's not very good. But for me personally, okay at the start of it,
yeah. How's your
sorry, I cut you off. You go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you what you had started to answer already. So please go ahead. I wanted to know how you were doing personally.
Sorry. Yeah. At the start, yeah. Probably wasn't as confronting as what, you know, Justin had to go through, I think, with his job. But, I mean, I work in a hospital, but it's in the admin side, so it's not the medical side. But, you know, as we can all attest to, you know, the early days where the streets were just empty and it was like a ghost town, basically. And it was weird, you know. It had to do night shifts, staggered shifts, and it was just very, very weird time. And it messes with your head because, you know, like you said before, you know, you can't – it's not like you can go and – see your mates or see colleagues or, you know, that you regularly work with. It's just, it's right. Very, very, very weird, and it takes its toll. So it's, the cost, like you said, can be quite big.
Absolutely. But I did not know that you both were, you know, involved in fields directly, you know, handling this global crisis. So I think I thank you both for your work there. And you know, it feels shitty to complain about it from my perspective, given everything that I said before, but like, because so many other people have it worse. But I feel like everyone is, as with all things in life, everyone is kind of just going along from day to day, trying to figure out existence. Right. And I think it's sometimes they're easier than others. Oddly enough, I feel like a lot of 2020 was easier than having the tease of a return to some, as we experience here, a tease of a return to relative normalcy, followed immediately by what felt like a crash back in the timeline, right back to March 2020. And I think that, like, it just felt like a punch in the nose, you know?
Mm. Well, if there's one positive out of it, you certainly learn perspective. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
But I
love a podcast that gets real morose 11 minutes into it. So,
yeah.
Thanks for going with me on that journey, everybody.
Well, I have slashed my wrist several times on this podcast, so as Adrian knows. Don't know how I'm still here. But I'll lighten up the mood slightly, Michael. So, look, there is, if you want a taste of Melbourne in New York, there's some cafes. Yeah. Might be a couple of cafes called A Hole in the Wall. And it's run by a former Melbourne Australian footballer. Yeah, so and you'll have a bit of Melbourne coffee. So I'll expect to see that on some future videos.
And if not yours, and get David to do it because he's always walking around.
Well, no, he's always going to somewhere else, and he's leaving me behind to freeze my ass off here in New York. Bastards in California. He's in Texas now. He went from California to Texas. I'm so freaking jealous. Yeah, there are three hole in the walls in Manhattan. They're right across the river. I will. Thank you for the recommendation. I will go check them out.
Yeah, give it a go. No, no problem. All right, so we'll go on to a question, Michael. So you have your Mr. Mobile series when phones were fun and into the fold, which you've already mentioned. So what made you go a different route with your video? So for example, you don't review every phone that comes out like you see some YouTubers do. You pick and choose, and it's not just phones. You know, you have your watches and everything else that you do. So what made you go that way?
Mm-hmm. I used to try to cover everything I possibly could, and that just wasn't sustainable from an effort standpoint. And it really wasn't necessary anymore once I stopped thinking of Mr. Mobile as so much of a news destination. I think part of the way we tried to set apart the channel at the start was like, first of all, it wasn't going to be as personality driven. It was going to be mostly product focused because I couldn't handle videos where the first 2 minutes are some talking head wasting my time. I was like, no, we want to spend 95% of our time looking at the product. And the other part was like, yeah, we want to be kind of, you know, pretend journalistic about it. And I still am, but I have long ago discarded the notion that every Moto G or every HMD, Nokia G, like, you know, demands coverage just because it exists. Mm-hmm. I found I was much happier as a person when I was only covering things that I was personally interested in. And for me, you know, that tends to be foldables and weird phones that break the mold and, you know, interesting accessories and laptops with two screens. You know, I think it's important to, if you have a degree of control over your creative life, that you cover things that make you excited. I didn't say happy. One of my most infuriating things I ever read on Twitter was a creator saying, like, earnestly asking the question, how to cover a product on YouTube when it wasn't a good product. And she like couldn't figure this out. Like she had reviews on her channel. I'm just like, I don't know what to do when a product isn't any good. And it's like, I've never seen someone so like, no personal thing, the offense to this person, but like, I've never seen the mentality of pleasing corporate clients in the hope that they will someday pay you for sponsored content, like infect somebody so furiously. It's like, well, if it's a bad product, then you review it and you give it a negative review and you tell people not to buy it because that's what a review does.
That's right.
Are you doing? Right. So it's like, it doesn't have to be great for me to review it, but it has to be interesting to me, or it has to excite me in some way. Even if that's the case of like the Leica phone, where it's like, I knew going into that probably wasn't going to live up to its potential, but I wanted to see. Mm-hmm. And I think that's some of the most fun you can have on YouTube these days. If you're in a position like I'm in, it's like, yep, cover what excites you and see if it's any good. And either way, it'll be a fun ride, won't it?
And it comes across too in your videos, Michael, that you can see the enthusiasm you have. And you have that impartiality and you are honest with your review. So if there's something wrong with it, you do say what's wrong with it, like that toaster phone and yeah. Yeah, things like that. So, and as you say, the Leica phone.
I think it's important to do that. You know, but it is tricky, right? It's a strange space because everyone draws their own lines. Everyone decides what's good for them, and like, look, if you have a channel that's nothing but sponsored content, I don't have a problem with that as long as you're honest with people about it. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I try and disclose up to the point where it's obnoxious. Cause when it's just all disclosures everywhere, it's like, well, this is just annoying. So that's why I put it all on the ethics page and go read that there. That's where I stand.
All right, Adrian.
Okay. So when it's not acquired as part of your job, what criteria does Michael Fisher have for looking up and taking possession of a classic phone? And how big is your phone collection, Michael?
Ooh. So when it's not required for a series, was that the qualifier I heard?
That's right.
Just for personal
gratification purposes.
Yeah, sure.
Friday night, dim the lights.
Obviously, yeah. Well, you know, when I open my heart to an old device. Now, I think when I'm eBaying, like when you're in that strange mindset of a person who is awake at 3 a.m. and can't sleep and either drunk or sober, it doesn't matter. But, you know, you open eBay and you know you're going to do something stupid. the thing that will steer me toward a particular vintage phone for my own personal needs will be A, I owned it once, and I really want to have it back so I can relive the little tiny corners of existence that that phone opened up for me in that time period. Or I never owned it, but I wanted it. You know, like it's that Samsung i500 that I wanted desperately in 2004, but couldn't afford. So when I bought that, I think I bought that to cover it, but I would have bought it anyway because I just wanted it so badly back in the day. You know, it's amazing how 17-year-old desire returns to you. Desire that is 17 years old, I should rephrase, returns to you after that length of time.
Yeah, nostalgia is a wonderful thing, huh?
Ooh, fantastic. Another lucky thing about being in the position I'm in is that it's one of the only businesses where nostalgia actually can be a business strategy.
Yeah, exactly.
There's so many people want to watch this stuff, right? I mean, you guys understand that better than most folks.
I know. We're YouTube experts, actually. We have Tesla apps on our phones, and we put them on our videos. And yeah, we do all that, don't we, Adrian?
Oh, we sure do, mate.
All right. And Adrian, in future, when you're doing the questions for Michael, just lower that voice. Make it a little bit more radio friendly, okay?
Okay. All right. Just all for right. Michael. I'm outgunned here, 2-1 radio voices.
Both of y'all sound fantastic, and I will not brook any more self-criticism. I love hearing you. My voice is absolutely fried after today.
Oh, really? What happened?
I did VO for the video that's going up a couple hours ago, and then I think I yelled at some people who were honking their horns in the street. And I've been thoroughly dehydrating myself with coffee all day. So, you can hear it starting to break.
It sounds like me actually dehydrating myself with coffee. Adrian knows that. All right, Michael. So, there are multiple reasons why I love your videos. And there's heaps. And one of those is because you acknowledge other YouTubers and people who lend you devices. So, what keeps you so grounded? And you are. You're very grounded in your videos. You don't act celebrity, if you know what I mean. So what does keep you that way?
Thank you. I think it's all left over from back when I used to listen to tech podcasts and watch. I never really watched tech videos, to be honest. But when I used to comment on tech blogs and, you know, get no response, or like, I just told the story on another podcast, actually, I used to write in like every week to, I think, the Engadget podcast with just this stupid question about some phone that nobody cared about, that no one had ever owned and was not, you know, it was in no way broadly interesting to any kind of audience. And they didn't get back to me after like 4 weeks of repeated emails because of the above cited reasons. But it was a bummer to me, and like trying to engage with my favorite journalists on Twitter and back in the day and stuff like, it didn't like ruin my day that I didn't get responses, because again, I wasn't bringing much to the table that deserved a response, but it instilled in me a desire to, you know, if I ever get into this space, I'm going to be nice. And I think that just kind of carried through. It's also a nice counterbalance to what can often be a very gross and hostile scene, just in the comments in general of any kind of creatives, as you know, of any website or YouTube channel. It's nice to counter that with friendliness. And it's also just a byproduct of this community we've all kind of built together in terms of who I call the usual suspects, you know, the 20 or 30 folks you see us all hanging out together with on some of the larger press events. You know, we're all competitors technically, but it doesn't matter because we're all friends, and that matters more. And it turns out there's plenty of audience to go around. So why be shitty to each other? Why not be cool to each other? So I think that's the long way of, that's the long answer, but
that's all right.
It's just better, right? It's better than being a jerk.
Exactly. And do you like the term influencer by any chance, Michael?
Oh, yeah. Hey, you found my favorite word.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah. My jaw did not just reflexively clench. Yeah. And look, I want to be clear a bit because I do influencery things. You know, when I post an Instagram sponsored ad, you know, that's an influencery thing to do. You know, when I travel to an event where I'm not going to cover it on a YouTube video, but I cover it as an Instagram story, say, you know, I hate that I have to do that stuff, but I have to do some of that stuff to A, support the channel, or B, stay in the conversation, or C, to serve some other project. So like, I just don't like it when the culture, when that's the only reason people do things. Like, at some point, you know, I still remember when you used to be embarrassed if you had to admit that you had been paid for something, or that the site you wrote for took money to do a sponsored post. Like, you know, that was old school. And then I just remember seeing that pivot that first time I saw some commenter say like, wow, congratulations on that brand deal. And I realized that the people lining up to cover tech were disproportionately not there to cover tech, you know, in a reviewer sense, but there to like, to get a brand deal, capital B, capital D. And like their end game was to like get paid by Samsung to rep a phone. And again, fine, but it's not why I'm there. I do that stuff because I have to. I don't do it because I like it. And I don't do that specifically, by the way, sorry. I don't do that, as you know, in that specific example. I'll do a BMW ad or an electric toothbrush ad, but yeah.
Hank, could you just repeat that again? Because I wasn't listening. I was too busy cooking some Hello Fresh. Can I tell you though?
I love those, but I love those. That format is great because it's so obvious, right? There's no confusing it. It's a exactly commercial right in the middle of the video.
I love them. And can I tell you how close I am to actually getting some Hello Fresh? Can that code be used in Australia as well, Michael?
Yeah, I don't think so. I'm always getting the comments like, this didn't work in my country. Like, damn it. It's funny though. I mean, that's my favorite. Well, you're not supposed to say things like that. That's among my favorite sponsors because it's one of those things where they've been a sponsor for years. And then in between the sponsor spots, I found myself wanting to have HelloFresh. So I ended up just becoming a customer. And now I get to do that stupid thing where you're like, I'm not just a sponsor. They're not just my sponsor. They're also my client.
I love it. I think it's hilarious. And the way I see you cooking and everything else, you're enjoying yourself. So
that's a good thing. Yeah, it is. I'm such a man child. I didn't know how to cook in the kitchen before HelloFresh.
All right, Adrian, radio voice. Yes.
I just want to say quickly, he did mention the C word again, Justin, didn't he? Community, in his answer to that. And it's very humble, and we love that about him. Like when we had Daniel Rubino on last year, he said the same thing. He's just one of us, you know, one of you guys. So
I'm so glad you had him on, and I missed that, and I'm sorry I didn't take note of that when it happened, or maybe I didn't. I just forgot because my memory sucks. But like, the Rubino is great because he is very inclusive and very giving as a member of the community, and also will talk to anybody. But my favorite thing about him is that he takes no shit either. Like somebody comes at him on Twitter, and he just, you know, he does not hold back, and I appreciate that.
Doesn't suffer fools, that's for sure.
That's right. That's right. Which is why we don't hang out often, but that's another story.
Well, are you saying you're a fool, Michael?
I feel like a fool when I'm on Rubino. I'm like, hey, man, tell me what a GPU is again.
So he wears the pants in the relationship, doesn't he?
Well, absolutely.
All right.
Go for it, mate, Adrian.
I'll go on to my next question.
All right, okay. Radio voice.
Oh, jeez. So much pressure now.
You sound great.
Thanks, Michael. At least someone still supports me. Now, back in its heyday of 2002 to 2010, Nokia had a huge presence in Australia, Europe, and other parts of the world, minus the USA. Now, did you pine to have a Nokia device, or did the onslaught of US carrier devices excite you far more?
Yeah, so it's a good question. And the short answer is Nokia was barely on my radar at that time. It was rather curious, though, because everyone knew who Nokia was in the States, because right when cell phones became a thing, which is to say became accessible price-wise to people like me who were turning 17 or whatever in 1999, 2000, they were everywhere for a brief moment. You had the 5165, something like that, the 5100 series, and then the 3390 series. Like those made an indelible imprint on my brain because girlfriends at the time had them. And I got to borrow them sometimes to make phone calls. And I was like, wow, I got to get me one of these. But I never wanted a candy bar style phone. I thought that was the most boring thing to do. And Nokia pretty much only made, you know, slab style phones. So when it came time for me to finally buy my first phone, I went with a Samsung because it had a flip and it was like the cool phone. And it was on Sprint, which is the only carrier that would give an idiot 18-year-old like me with no credit a phone. And it, you know, having watched Star Trek growing up, I really wanted that flip top action. And it also made it more compact. So I kind of started there and never looked back. And then Nokia just diminished over the years in even further in importance or mind share in the States, only to come back, you know, oddly enough, when Windows phones started happening, like that was a genuine Nokia brand resurrection in North America, in a big way, because it had been gone for almost 10 years from a lot of people's perspective.
That's a good answer. Well, how powerful are they still as powerful now as when they were back in those days, Michael?
Which ones?
Oh, look, like I know you got your Sprints and your Verizons and your T-Mobiles and
the carriers.
Yeah, but are they just as powerful now with how phones are made in America?
No, not remotely. I know they still exert quite a bit of control, but that tends to happen on the mid-range and low end. And you know, it's now the entire landscape has changed. So thankfully, you know, because it was really annoying to be considering a phone circa 2009 and be like, or, you know, 2011, be like, well, I would like to get this one on Verizon, but that one has disabled Bluetooth because Verizon doesn't want you to be able to do object exchange or whatever. And so we can't get that one. You're going to have to get something else, you know? Yeah. Thankfully, the carriers have lost a lot of their control.
That's good. All right, Michael, over to me. Back onto the Nokia bandwagon. How close do you think HMD were to releasing that new N95? And do you think it would have been successful if they did release it?
I don't think they were all that close because the one they let me borrow was like not, you know, it was pre-prototype, you know. It didn't even power on. I don't even know if they made a unit that did. Excuse me. Do I think it would have been successful? No, I don't. I think they probably made the right call in shelving that, just because if you're going to resurrect a brand as potent as the N95, I think you should have a little bit more to it than a HTC Boom Sound style deployable speaker and a kickstand, you know, because otherwise it was just another HMD slab, at least it appeared to me to be.
It probably would have had a Unisoc chipset or something on there anyway.
All right. Be kind, Justin. No HMD bashing like you told me before the podcast.
All right. Okay.
In that case, I will have to go. No, I'm kidding.
No, I'm only kidding. All right, over to you, Adrian.
All right. Is this our last question, Justin, or do you want to throw him the bonus ones?
No, well, we can do the bonus ones a bit later, so you can still.
Okay. All right.
Teasers.
We have some bonus questions for you, Michael. We had to have some.
Great. Further opportunity to incriminate myself on the airwaves. Go ahead.
Yes. I'll wait till you hear them.
All right. Radio voice on. Now, We have had some legendary US guests on our podcast, such as Ricky Cadden, Miriam Joar, and Daniel Rubino, share with us their top five Nokia devices of all time. We are particularly excited to hear yours, Mr. Mobile's List, so hit us with it.
Top five, my goodness. All right.
See, if you'd actually listen to our podcast, you'd be prepared for this, Mark.
I see. But that would imply preparation, you see. Yeah. All right. Look, these are not going to be in order. The Lumia 1020, which I'm sure you've heard before, that's up there for sure. I desperately wanted that to take hold, and I'm really annoyed that was a carrier exclusive here in the States. I feel like, you know, we just talked about it. The N95 has to go on there. It's kind of, I would have been annoyed at that if I hadn't had my own time with it for when phones were fun. And once I used it a little bit, I was like, oh yeah, I got it. I understand why people love this so hard. People have to say the 3390. I'm like, yeah, okay. But there's one that's like right on the tip of my tongue from the Windows Phone days that, you know, I think the 1020 steals a little bit of the 920's thunder, but the Lumia 920 was my first Windows Phone. It was the first Windows Phone I spent my own money on. No, that's not right. It's the first Nokia Windows Phone that I spent my own money on. And I think it's so under-celebrated. Like that's what introduced optical image stabilization to a great many people in terms of shooting. I still remember people shaking it and putting it up to their ear and saying, why is my phone knocking around? It's like, well, because the camera moves inside there. It's a whole thing. And it corrected for the sins of the Lumia 900, which, so I got to put the 920 on there too. And my fifth is a phone that I have one of only 10 or I think 12 in the world. And I don't know who has the others, except I think JJ Abrams has one. It is the custom Nokia N76 that they were going to make as a tie-in for the 2009 Star Trek film. They didn't make it to production, but it's a fully functional N76 dressed up like a Starfleet communicator. One of them popped up on eBay in 2010, and I paid way the hell too much money for it, but I own it, and I have no regrets.
I'm going to have to look that up. It's a beautiful phone, the N76 in its own right, so to see it as a Star Trek communicator, that'd be sensational.
Yeah, you can watch a rambling voiceover only video of mine giving a tour of it. It was my first experience with anything going viral. Like that video got picked up by all the tech blogs one morning, and it went from, you know, 500 views to 60,000 in a day. And in 2010, that was like meteoric. So it was pretty cool.
I'll have to look that. I can't believe I've missed that one.
Well, it was 13 years ago. We can forgive you.
Oh, thank you. Well, I haven't watched it for a long time, which leads me into my one of my bonus questions, actually, Michael. So I don't know if it's maybe the hairstyle, but and you've shown in a lot of your videos, you and your younger days when you were 17 or 18, but you haven't aged at all. Now,
oh my God,
do you like garlic? Do you like garlic or anything? Or are you a vampire? Do you go out during the day? And your top five was pretty good too, by the way.
Thank you, I appreciate it. You're very kind to say it. You'll have to stop lying to me at some point, because geez, I was looking at footage from 2019, and the aging is pronounced. David Kogan and I make fun of each other pretty much all the time, because we look at, you know, when you do this job, you're always using stock footage of yourself from your younger days, and man, the aging is pronounced. But what's nice is if you are on YouTube all the time or on Instagram all the time, then you're on your own cameraman. So you can just ratchet up that angle a little bit, put yourself in the best light, reject the 55 takes that make you look like the old burned out fat slob you are, and just retain your sexiness such as it is through all times. And also, yeah, making the hair about 4 inches high really helps.
And as an aside too, so you know when you in your videos, you talk about phone reception, and there's you talking on the phone, but you can't hear yourself talk. Are you actually talking on the phone and listening to someone, or is that all?
No, almost never. It's you know, I'm sitting there just doing, you know, monologues from Trek films or other whatever's just floating around my head right there. Typically, I'm looking out the window, and typically there's some idiot, because it's New York City, and some jack off on the road is doing something stupid with their car, and I'm just mercilessly insulting them. And you know, even the facial expressions are on autopilot for those segments. I'm laughing, and you know, keep honking, that'll do it, you fuckwit.
I love it. We need to see some outtakes and bloopers, which needs to be a video one day.
Or audio, anyway.
Yeah. We used to do the like a regular blooper reel at Pocket Now once every few months. But that's what you can do when you have a, you know, when you as a staff are kind of working toward a common goal and you haven't forcibly alienated yourself and said, leave me alone 400 times. But yeah.
All right, Adrian, a nice bonus question from you, mate.
Okay. Did you know that there is a Michael Fisher who works at Nokia today as a PCB designer in the networking division?
What?
No, yes, we did.
I didn't know at all.
Well, when we were researching, not that we had to do much research, but we actually saw there's a Michael Fisher who works at Nokia, the Nokia PCB network. Designer. So
there he is on LinkedIn. I got to connect to them. Yeah. Grapevine, Texas. How about that?
Yeah. I wonder if he gets bombarded with questions thinking he's you.
Oh, God, probably. Yeah, it's such a common name. Back when I was still in my acting days, I was trying to buy, I think, michaelfisher.com, and it was owned by a fashion designer and then another Michael Fisher actor. There's a chemist. One of my favorite things was a Google indexing problem that led to, when you Googled me, like my name and bio would come up, but my image was replaced by that of the Michael Fisher, who's like the 86-year-old Swedish chemist. So the pains of having a common name on the internet.
Bloody hell. And did you ever want to go back into acting at all?
Yeah. Oh, I miss it. I miss it. I don't want to say frequently. It comes and goes. I mean, there's nothing like, particularly with theater, right? Like films, whatever. But going from the thrill of performing live in front of an audience, or often surrounded by an audience if you're on a thrust stage, and that kind of unquantifiable pleasure, that immediacy and that escapism, I mean, there's nothing like it. And while there are a lot of skills I take from that world that continue to apply on YouTube, and I'm grateful for them, it's standing in a room by yourself with a camera is not remotely the same thing. So yeah, I miss the great parts of it. I just went to my friend's 40th birthday party, and he's still an actor, and I forgot what it was like, because I talked about the usual suspects before, and one of the unfortunate things, and I say this genuinely, not to make a joke, one of the unfortunate things about our industry is that there are it's just dominated by men, which leads to some kind of myopic points of view sometimes. But also it's just, you know, it's not as fun as a good mix of all kinds of people in a social environment. So I went to my friend's 40th birthday the other night, and I forgot what it was like to hang out with theater friends, because there were, I think, 13 people attended, and they were all women. And I was like, oh yeah, this used to be a real fun side effect of that. Because God, it was just fun. And I, you know, didn't get into anything untoward. It's just such a refreshingly different energy. And then by the end of the night, I was like, oh, right. It takes a lot of energy to hang out with this many actors all at once. And now I would like to go home and not see anybody for 2 days. Burned out.
But it's interesting you actually say about the immediacy of theater, because that's the second time I've actually heard that in a week from an Australian actor who said the same thing. Heard on the radio, he was being interviewed, and He's done movies. Oh, he's done comedy. He's done everything. And he actually, and the question was asked, well, what's your favorite part? And he goes, oh, theater. He goes, that's what I started out in. And he goes, I love the immediacy of, you know, you have to get it right and all that sort of thing. So,
right. Oh, God, there's so much. I could talk for hours about the wonderful, wonderful things about theater. But one of my professors put it best. He was a film actor for as a profession. And I said, well, when you get to do theater, what do you think about it? And he says, oh, theater's a blessing. And he went on to expound upon that. And I agree. I miss theater for sure.
All right. But we'll still see you on episode 6 of Star Trek Discovery in the new season being thrown, shot out in a coffin.
Sailing out that airlock. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's me inside the torpedo tube. Yeah.
All right, Adrian. Over to you, mate.
Okay. So, yeah, you've reached the end of our little podcast. Just want to tell the listeners where they can find you on your socials.
I certainly can. I certainly will. Including the bonus questions? We're done with those too?
That's it. How easy was this?
Oh, it's too easy. Now I have to get back to work. I don't want to do that. Surely there are other questions under there somewhere.
Think of something quick, Adrian, quick.
I know.
No, really. This has been a lot of fun. Well, before I forget, I will say that you can find me on YouTube and Instagram at TheMrMobile, TheMrMobile. And for a slightly less curated version of me, I'm Captain Two Phones on Twitter, Captain the Number Two Phones. And I also have a Twitch experiment going on. This is not something I've tried to build an audience on. It's not something I advertise. But if you, for whatever reason, want to hear the rambling discourse of an aging Brooklynite talking over a video game, I'm at Captain Two Phones on Twitch as well, except you have to spell it out, Captain TWO Phones. It's a lot of fun. I really like Twitch.
Not the number.
Yeah, there's some stupid squatter sitting on it. Actually, maybe a very nice squatter. Who knows? There's still a squatter. I got to get that handle.
Or yelling out the window.
Yeah.
Man. Yelling
at grumpy old man.
Old man yells at cloud.
That's right. See, I've always been that though. I was the old man. I acted like a 75-year-old in college. But the difference is it was endearing when I was young. And now I just really am an old man complaining about everything, and it's less entertaining to all concerned, unfortunately.
No, you were a vampire, remember, Michael, so you probably were 75 then, but you still looked like you were 25 or whatever, so
mystery solved.
I've never seen him during the day, Adrian. It's always been a night shot.
Well, in his videos, he looks like he's there in the daytime. Well, we can only hope.
I'm joking. No, yes, that's effects, special effects.
Remind me to send you a photo. I'm about to run this video on this Huawei phone that has a UV camera on it. And just for kicks, I shot myself with it in the pitch blackness last night. And it's one of the most terrifying photos I've ever seen. It's crazy what a UV camera does to one's face.
It would burn your skin, wouldn't it?
I guess we'll see. Yeah, it's weird. It's funny you mention it. I can't see very well today. Turn into that light.
Well, look, thank you, Michael, for coming on. It has been an absolute pleasure. We've had a lot of fun, haven't we, Adrian?
We have indeed. It's been a barrel of laughs today. And yes, thank you for coming on. It's been a blast.
I'm so happy I did. And I thank you for having me on. And I thank everyone for letting me just talk way too much, as I do on a lot of podcasts. But I don't often have quite this much fun. So really, thank you. Thank you both. It's been great.
Well, thanks, Michael. Well, I bet he says that to everybody.
I don't. You can go listen. It's true.
We need follow-up episodes. So Theater Chronicles and Star Trek Chronicles.
Let's kick off a podcast network. I bet we could make like a couple bucks an hour doing this. Let's do it.
We could do it.
We can. All right, Adrian, sign us off, mate.
All right, that's it for this week's episode. Thanks again to Michael Fisher, and we will have another guest lined up for next week. Might be Justin.
Yes, we will, Adrian, as we do every freaking week.
Every week, yes. Stating the obvious there. Let's get Michael Fisher to take us out with his catchphrase.
Oh.
Come on.
Yeah, come on. Just for us, Michael.
Come on, mate. Just for us, please.
I couldn't possibly. Yes, of course. No. Thank you. Thank you, Adrian and Justin. Thank you, everyone. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the weekday. Enjoy whatever you can. And stay mobile, my friends.